Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to KRBN, Internet News Talk Radio. And this is our very first show. And, of course, like everything that happens to be going on, it messed up. We already screwed up the promo. Anyways, my name is Robin, and my co-host here is Mimi.
Hi.
And tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about the truck driving industry. On the phone with us tonight is... A Million Miler. He goes by the CB handle Crazy Man. Are you out there, Crazy Man?
Oh, hell yeah! All right, not in a direct.
Not in a direct. Well, welcome to the show, Crazy Man. Just a little bit about KRBN here real quick. The purpose of the show, of course, as it says in the title, will be Internet News Talk. And that means we'll be talking about a lot of different things, different varieties. And if you have a topic of interest, be sure to leave a message on our blog or in our chat room. Tonight's topic is we're doing Trucker Talk and going to discuss a little bit about what it's like to be over the road, some of the issues that the drivers face, and just trucking in general. So again, welcome, Crazy Man, and how are you doing tonight?
Doing great, doing great. Just rolling through lovely California, watching traffic go by as they just kind of hang out and find out what we're going to talk about, when and where, and what happens next.
Nice. Sounds good. In sunny California.
What part of sunny California?
What was that?
What part of sunny California?
Well, right now I'm rolling through what's called Red Bluff, California, I-5 South.
Can't do too loud to get feedback. That's cool. I understand California is also, with their emission control standards and everything, that they also have that anti-idling law going on?
Yes, there is an idling law here in California, which is pretty sad that we can only idle our trucks for 5 minutes as we shut down for the day or the night. With the emissions, it's kind of silly, and the extreme temperatures that we get here in the summertime are, in excessive of like 103, 110, and inside the cab can raise up to like 130, 140 degrees with no ventilation or no air conditioning. So, I understand the smog, stuff like that, but we need to idle these trucks for air conditioning and heat. It's rough.
And what would happen if you, so if I understand this correctly, it doesn't matter what the outside temperature is, you're not allowed to idle that vehicle for more than 5 minutes.
No, you are not. The truck will, if you idle the truck for more than 5 minutes and the DHP finds out, the sheriffs or DOT, you've been idling for an excessive of 5 minutes, that is a $350 ticket the first time. Second time is $1,000. Third time in the state of lovely California is $10,000 and we're both of your CDL and driving privileges in this state. But
wow.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We've already had three drivers die over the excessive heat because they could not idle said truck. I understand the emissions. I understand. But they do not understand that inside of this truck at 110 degrees outside temp, it's 140 inside, and if they died at even 100 degrees, it's still 120 inside this truck, and you can't get no ventilation in them.
Wow.
Now our truck drivers are... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Now our drivers are getting a, good night's sleep. They're tossing, they're turning, they're not sleeping at all. Now the next day they get up, and they are fatigued, haven't slept. Now they are attempting to drive in this state of fatigue that they can't hurt and kill somebody. But we have to do it.
Right, and I understand that more and more states are starting to come up with this type of law, too?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. New York's got it. Arizona's got it. But Arizona, now, their law is a little different. Depending on what time of the year, they give you a maximum 5 minutes. But, say in August, July, when it's like 120 degrees, they go, okay, well, excessive heat is extreme heat. You can idle the truck, but if they knock on your door, don't see you peep out behind the curtain or around one of the curtains, they will give you a ticket there. I cannot tell you what the price of said ticket is in Arizona, but they've written their law a little different for extreme heat to extreme coldness over there. That's how that is.
So you could be sleeping in the truck, and when they knock on your door, of course, you probably wouldn't answer because you're asleep, and then get that big ticket then.
Right. That is true. But they usually knock long enough or loud enough so you do wake up and peek from behind the curb, which now has interrupted your 10-hour DOT break of sleep.
Correct. I was just going to mention that. And in addition to your 10-hour break, which supposedly is supposed to be uninterrupted, when it's extremely hot in the cab, that would also affect the people's ability to sleep.
Correct.
And for people that are listening that don't know, part of the hours of service rules is that the maximum that a driver can work is 14 hours a day, and they must take a mandatory 10-hour break to reset that 14-hour clock. The maximum that they can drive is 11 hours in that 14-hour period of time. Is that correct?
Correct. But they also what's called a split break, which I've talked to many DOT officers about that split break, and every officer I've talked to, one will say this, one will say that. Nobody really knows how to work that split break properly at this point in time. Even though it is in the book, if you do it right, you can be fined for it. So everybody says, give you a 10-hour break and then drive.
I also understand that some companies, too, have their own policies about idling, in addition to the laws.
Correct. Some companies will charge you X, Y, Z dollars to idle said truck after say a 10% or 20% idle time. So say I'm sleeping in the sleeper berth, and I've idled over my say 20% for said month. They now charge me X, Y, Z per gallon per hour pump price while I am sleeping.
Is that the going rate for the fuel, or is it prorated?
No, it is the prorated fuel at time of pump. So, say it's $5.95 a gallon, that's what the company will charge you for idle time per hour. And the thing is this thing, when it idles, I want 10 hours to take 10 to 12 gallons of diesel to run to keep the truck cool or hot.
So what's a driver supposed to do in this case then?
Well, they have what's called idle air, but that's $3.99 a minute to sit in their lovely station and be charged for it $3.99 an hour at night or day.
Uh-huh.
But their prices are coming down. So it could be $1.99 an hour in the daytime, but at nighttime it goes back up $3.99 per hour. So that's our other options, but the companies do not pay for that. That comes out of the driver's pocket.
For those that don't know, can you briefly describe what idle air is?
Idle air is basically above the truck, a big air conditioning unit with a tube coming down to the window, which has heat or air conditioning pumped into that tube. And in that tube, you've got your heat, your air conditioning, plus you have computer access, you have TV access, telephone line access, stuff like that. Now, like the telephone, you got to pay for your long distance calls, calls like that. They have what's called an Ethernet cord that you can buy, but that is also another additional price as you are in that idle air set. Or should say, plus.
And that just fits into an adapter through one of your windows, right?
Correct. That goes in through the passenger window. And it's got a big piece of plastic. They've got a brown hole cut out, and a slider in there, and you've got all the AC you want. But it's at a price.
And that's something that the company does not reimburse you for?
The company does not reimburse you for that at all. But at the end of the year, you can write that off on your taxes, and you can recoup some of it. Not all of it, but some. We'll say probably maybe 25 to 50% you'll get a recoup at that point in time.
But a tax refund or deduction does not exactly help you, through the rest of the year, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
No, it does not. No, it does not. Well, you figure for 10 hours and $3.99 a minute, it's almost $30
right.
per 10-hour shift. You do that by 6-7 days a week, you don't get to recoup that.
Now, that's a big chunk of money.
No.
And you're not making money while you're sleeping.
No, you're not making any money while you're sleeping, but you have to be sleeping that 10 hours, though.
Yeah, so you're basically paying out the money that you could be making to be comfortable in your truck to transport people's things to them that they want and need.
Yes.
Truck is fine. Okay. But that is a pretty big chunk out of your paycheck, though.
Yes, it is. It is way big chunk.
And, of course, I understand that you trucker-type people make a ton of money doing this type of work.
Not true. If these tires are not moving, we do not make a dime one, or as the company would say, a cent. Like me, I've been doing this for a while. I would consider myself almost at the company I'm at, top of the food chain. I make 40 cents a mile.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I only do X amount of miles a day, I only get X amount of pennies. And if the truck's not moving, I make no pennies or no cents.
So how often is it that... Like say the average trucker or yourself actually has to sit waiting for the next load, or you know, how often are you idle per se where you're not making any money out of your work week?
Well, it also depends on where you are sitting. You know, you could be in a bad what's called freight zone, and if you're in that said freight zone, you may set hours, days. Depends on, you know, how the freight is going, or they'll set you for X 9 hours while you're making no money. Then they'll figure out, well, we need to get that truck moving. They will basically deadhead you out of that bid zone to the next zone that's got good freight. But mm-hmm. that could be 24 hours, 48 hours, could be 2-3 days, could be more.
And a lot of that time, you're not making any money at all.
You're making nothing, zero.
So this is one of the major differences, like, versus, let's say, having a 9-to-5 job where, you know, as soon as you clock in at 8 o'clock, even if you're, if they don't have anything for you to do, you're getting paid because you're getting paid by the hour. But in your case, because you're paid by the mile, you're putting in your time for nothing, basically.
Correct. If these tires are not turning, we make 0 cents or $0. So a 9-to-5 job is where it's at. Driving trucks, if it's not moving, you make nothing.
Mm-hmm. And on the same aspect, I suppose there are times when you're not even making minimum wage.
There's times where I'm not making nothing. $0. You don't even make minimum wage. It's like I've done a job in a favor for the company, and I have set for 26 hours doing them a favor, I made a total of $20.40 for 24 hours. That is
Ouch.
Below minimum wage completely.
Now, see, the Bureau of Labor, if any other company did that, the Bureau of Labor would be all over them.
Correct. But not trucking. They've got a different standard.
Yeah, I also understand, speaking of wage and hour, like, for example, an average work week can be about 70 hours a week.
Correct. We can work up to 70 hours a week every week.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that breaks down to minimum wage, not even close.
And no overtime.
And no overtime, no double time, no triple time, no nothing.
So why would anybody, I guess it used to be, trucking used to be a really good industry to be in. You know, the thrill of the open road, the freedom, not having a boss looking over your shoulder. That's pretty much changed, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It's changed completely. Completely.
So if somebody was wanting to come into the industry today, is there any advice you'd give them?
My advice would be to sit back, look at the schools, look at the opportunities, pick very wisely and choose very, very wisely about where you're going to work for what company. Doesn't matter what name's on the side of that truck. It's just the same company, just a different color, different name. You're treated like, I don't know how to say it without being too forward, but third country, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah, one person referred to it as the modern slave labor.
Bingo. That would be the nicest way to put it.
So why would somebody want to do that job?
Because in some schools, some advertisements, they show that you can make big money at this. If you do this, 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 and this, you can make anywhere starting at $60,000 to $70,000, sometimes $80,000 a year. That looks like really good money. But they don't tell you that if the truck's not moving, you make nothing at all.
Yeah, I've seen some of the advertisements on the websites, for example. Start out as a company driver, and you can make an average of $35,000 to $45,000 a year. Be an owner-operator, make $125,000, $250,000 if you run teams as an owner-operator.
Yes, you can. But the problem with that, when it all said and done, that depending on, you know, the owner-operator situation, $100,000 after taxes and said and done, you're only making $16,000 when Uncle Sam has got done taking his share and bite out of your profit.
Mm-hmm.
And the expenses to run the truck.
Yeah, so you get, because an owner-operator, off that $125,000, you got maintenance, fuel, taxes, a whole fistful of permits, and whatever else comes up along the line. And then somewhere in federal, state, local, fuel, and then maybe you might be able to catch a dollar out of it?
Yeah. It's a real tough situation. I mean, it would be really hard for me to say owner-op is the best way, company is the best way. You know, it's all in what you're willing to put up with and basically starve at the end of the day, depending on what company you go with.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's really tough.
What about the, because I understand. What are the advantages?
The advantage? I don't know. There's a lot, because at the end of the week, you feel good about what you do if you're into this type of labor. You work your 70 hours, you get it's all in, I mean, some days it's so hard to say the good things.
A sense of satisfaction of making that deadline, you know, making the schedule, you know, and probably even knowing that. Yeah, and the part that, you know, I don't know if you think of it this way or not, but, you know, what you do for a living, if it wasn't for people like you, America would stop, literally.
Literally, it would stop. If we didn't have the drivers we do have, America would be sitting on its butt going, how are we going to get this food to the market? How are we going to get this? How are we going to get that?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Without the driver, America stops, period.
Mm-hmm. Which leads me into another topic is, you know, especially with 2010 coming on, I understand there's some new rules and regulations, one of them being the emissions control, which is probably going to put the smaller operator out of business because of the either have to buy a newer rig or you have to retrofit, which is not cheap.
No, I've heard the retrofit can start at $10,000 and work up to $40,000 on an older unit. But
mm-hmm.
I, you know, just going by hearsay from this, from that, because I haven't really looked into that.
Okay, and I've also read that there is a proposal to change your 11 hours of available driving in the 14-hour day to 10 hours. How do you think that will affect your? Go ahead.
Yes, I've heard about that, and I think that's going to set the truck driving industry back in the Stone Age of basically horse and carts, because it's going to limit our hours of drive time and things that we're going to do. So it's going to be a limited setup with the new hours. But the new hours haven't gone into effect yet at this point in time.
That's true. If they do, how do you think the companies are going to handle it? Do you think they're going to be pushing the driver a lot harder to try and make these deadlines and, you know, with less of an hour to drive?
Yes, I think they're going to push the drivers harder. They're going to hire more entry-level drivers, which is, you know, going to flood the market and drive our freight down even lower. And it's just going to be a messed up situation.
Well, in addition, that's going to put a lot more inexperienced drivers on the road handling these big rigs.
Correct. You're going to have a lot more inexperienced drivers out here on the road driving in ice and snow and wind, and we're going to have companies forcing these drivers or riding them to drive harder and longer hours, even though it's shorter hours, where when they're overtired and don't understand it, if I keep driving in this weather, I'm just going to get more fatigued and have an accident.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, since you brought up the snow, there's an article that I wanted to bring up before we're done with the show today. And it's basically a law that New Jersey has considered passing, and it's Senate Bill 520. And what it addresses is the snow removal. And let me just read a quick paragraph off the bill itself. It says, each driver of a motor vehicle operated on a street or highway in this state shall have an affirmative duty to make all responsible efforts to remove accumulated ice or snow from exposed surfaces of the motor vehicle prior to operation, which surface, shall include but not limited to the hood, the trunk, windshield, windows, roof, cab of the truck, and the top of the trailer. And fines will range from $25 to $75 for each offense. You have any thoughts on that one?
Just another way to get money from the truck driver when we don't have it. Companies are going to pitch a fit because one day a driver's going to be up top of the trailer cleaning it off. He's going to slip, fall, get killed, or hurt himself real bad, which is real stupid.
That's true. And how strong are those trailers really to have somebody walking on them?
I have no idea on that one. That is something I'm not sure of at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to find somebody that knows a little more about it than me.
Okay. Yeah, to me, it's like, first of all, how are you going to get up on top of that trailer? And like I say, secondly, once you're up there, how are you going to secure yourself so you do not fall?
And how do you move snow?
Well, great demand. We're coming up to the end of our time here. Do you have any final words for us?
Final words would be, if you're going to get into trucking, sit down and talk to your better half and find out and make sure she or he is perfectly fine with the job you're going to do. You're going to be away from home for days, weeks, and months, living in a little bitty hole.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to sit down and think about what you want and what you're going to do at that point in time. So
that's very good advice. And people that are listening, if you are even listening to the archives of this show, if you have any show suggestions or any questions regarding this topic or any other topic, please be sure to leave them. We'll try to get Crazy Man on and some others in the future to answer more of your questions that you may have. So again, thank you again, Crazy Man, for chiming in and telling us a little bit about the trucking industry. And hopefully, you know, we can have you on the show again sometime in the near future.
You're welcome. I loved it. And anytime you have a question, you call me, and I will see what I can do.
We appreciate that so much. Well, again, you're listening to Trucker Talk. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio, and we'll see you again soon.